This episode contains adult themes and is not appropriate for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
So this interview is a follow-up to episode 129, which aired on April 27th about the murder of Daisy De La O. So if you haven't listened to that episode yet, we encourage you to start there first before listening to this interview with Daisy's mother, Susie. To refresh everyone else's memory, Daisy De La O was murdered by Victor Hugo in February of 2021, and he was essentially caught when Daisy's friend and aunt took to social media for help tracking him down after police and the media were slow to report on the crime. Victor was found guilty of the murder right after the podcast aired, but sentencing has been pushed back twice and is currently scheduled for sometime in October. Susie has shown incredible strength in continuing to advocate for Daisy, herself, and her other children, and we are so grateful that she's continued to reach out to us and keep us updated to give us the opportunity to help spread the word about what a bright, beautiful light she and Daisy are. I also want to remind everyone that the GoFundMe is still up, and you can access it through the link in our Instagram bio. Their family could still use your help and support as they navigate the sentencing process, which is nothing short of a nightmare. Quick side note, Sadie and I are uncharacteristically quiet during the interview, for better or worse, because we had to record on Zoom, which squishes the audio when people speak over each other. The audio is a little rough at the beginning, but it gets stronger about a minute or so in, so please hang in there. And without any further ado, here is Susie and her story. So do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Susana Salas. But, everybody knows me as Susie. I always felt when they call me Susana as that I'm in trouble. I'm 40 years old, Mexican, born over there, raised in LA. And, you know, that's pretty much it. I'm an office assistant. That's my type of work.
Yep.
But, you know, I do a little bit of everything at work. So I don't just really focus on one thing.
Yeah.
Like, be busy, you know?
Yep.
It about me, you know?
So do you want to tell us a little bit more about Daisy? I mean, we tried to cobble together everything we could, but we would love to hear from you what kind of person she was. And
I believe Daisy was an old soul. I really believe. I could tell you that having a daughter was one of the most rewarding things that this life gave me. Boys are very different when it comes to divorce. Of course, they hurt them, but I believe that boys are like, there, you'll be okay, mom, you know? Girls, at least my daughter, let me tell you that she became my shoulder to cry, my right hand, when I got divorced with her with their dad. And, you know, that's when we really, me and Daisy bonded, you know? Mm-hmm. I guess as women, as girls, in the rupture of our marriage, of our family, because it was our full family, not just my marriage, bonded us together as women, as females, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she really would literally lay next to me. She was only 13. Now that I think about it, it was a lot to carry for a 13-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I wouldn't even want to get out of bed because at that time I lost my job too. So her dad walked away from us. Her dad had another married lady pregnant. Oof. And it was just a whole mess. My daughter did actually told her dad, you lied to me. You said that I was going to be your princess, and yet you changed me for another girl. Because this girl ended up having twins, boy and girl.
Wow.
It was a really devastating blow to our family. At the same time, my oldest one became a dad.
Wow. So it was
just horrible, 2015. And we had to move of our home there, you know, from the city that saw Daisy and Nathan and my oldest one grow. So it was just, everything changed. And AC always was like, we moved to a tiny little home, and AC was 13 years old. And at some point, she acted like the mom, you know? Because I was so heartbroken. I was lost. I didn't know what I was going to do, you know? Jobless, everything, you know, everything switched. And the AC was the one that would tell me, get up, lady, get up. You can't be laying down. And I was a little depressed. And she would tell me, go take a shower. You look like crap. Go put on some makeup. You look like crap. You know, she was outspoken. And, you know, they see got me through my divorce.
Wow.
She became my shadow. She became my shadow throughout my whole divorce. It was really, really, really hard for her, obviously for all of them, but she did carry all of us. All of
Wow.
us, even my youngest one, would sometimes, because I would work so much, you know, because being a single mom, I don't have to work long hours. And by accident, my son, my youngest one, will call her Daisy Mom, and she would get mad. She'd be like, I'm your sister. And he's like, well, you kind of are my mom. You feed me, you take care of me. She had the loving, motherly, nurturing thing to her, to my granddaughter too. My granddaughter loved her, loved her. So she grew up too quick, and she carried too much on her shoulders. I do believe that, I think it's called bond trauma. That's what happened to her and this individual, this monster, bonded. I do believe it. From my understanding, he got abandoned by his mom and she started a new family. So the same story with my daughter. She got abandoned by her dad and he started a new family. And sadly, bond creates something that you think is love. And I believe that that's why this person had such a strong hold on my daughter. Because she will use words he's misunderstood. You don't know him. I believe that's the main reason why this happened, you know?
Yes.
Horrible outcome.
Yep. I think when you were starting to tell the story, my immediate thought was, I wonder if that had something to do with her relationship with him, especially at her age. I mean, we all made terrible decisions, you know, in our relationships at that age, and then into our 20s, and then sometimes beyond, you know, but that's the age. You know, that's the age where you hopefully learn those lessons harmlessly. You get your heart broken, you know, it's messy, but you move on. And in her case, you know, she picked the wrong person.
And I do believe that honestly, he knew at the end that Daisy didn't love him anymore. That's the reason why he did what he did. Because Daisy was working. Daisy was talking to me about, oh, mom, my coworkers, oh, mom, school. She had goals. She had a f she saw future, and that future was without him. And I believe that's the why he did what he did, you know? That's why he ended up doing what he did, because he really knew inside his heart that she didn't love him anymore. That she outgrew him, you know, and I think for a long time I hadn't seen a spark that happiness in my kids. I remember that day she was in Miriam's house, Miriam, her best friend, and she called me. I was at work. It was a Saturday, and she told me, Mom, can you pick me up? I'm in Miriam's. And I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll pick you up after work. So I went to pick her up, and she was like, blah, blah, blah about her friends, you know, blah, 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 Miriam, blah, 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 Lupita, blah, 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 you know, just gossiping with me. And I think back in the times we used to gossip, talk, you know, and it's like, it's, I can't have that no more. I can't have, no, he took that from me. He stole my girl. He stole my daughter. he stole my confidence. The person, the only girl that I could completely trusted, I trusted, you know? She told me out of nowhere, when she was gossiping about her friends, she said, "Mom, I'm not with what's his face anymore." Mm-hmm. I mean, I this really, really didn't like this guy since the beginning. That she knew that I didn't like him, so she didn't even use his name. She said, "But I'm not what's his face anymore," you know? Yep. I mean, because I would just hear his name and I'll be like, "Ugh, my stomach will like, you know." And inside of me, I was like, "Yes, yes, oh my God, finally." And she told me, you know, I didn't ask her. I didn't was like, "Oh, are you, you know, nothing." And I felt so happy. I felt happy, like, you know, I was like, finally, she got rid of this person, you know? Mm-hmm. And but it made such a fuss because I knew my kid. Mm-hmm. She was going to be, "Oh, lady, you're going to start, blah, blah, blah. See, that's what I'm going to tell you things." You know? And girls at that age, they're like that. So I was like, inside of me, I was driving. I was like, "Oh, okay, baby." But inside of me, I was
over. Partying.
I wanted to jump. I was like, "Yes, finally." You know, and it was one of the moments that I remember with her talking mm-hmm. about that. So, you know, now that I had time to think or overthink and or whatever, it's like I think about stuff like that.
She was probably really excited to tell you too.
Yeah.
Knowing that how happy that would make you.
You know, it was
she was done.
When she was okay with him, when she was actually good with him, she was bad with all of us.
Yeah.
Us, me, her brother, everybody. She was bad in school. She was bad at everything. But once he got out of the picture, she started being her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Being free. Being who she really was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you never, ever, ever in a million years imagine that you're going to be living an actual horror movie because, you know, I still, my brother told me, my brother went with me almost all the trial. My cousin went to all the trial and my brother told me, you know, still haven't sink in because one thing is hearing what happened to your kid. One thing is seeing what happened to your kid.
Yeah.
I don't wish this to anybody, nobody. Losing a kid changes you. Like, honestly, I could tell you guys that it killed me. He killed me the day he killed my daughter. He killed me. I'm not the same. Of course, I laugh. I play around. I joke around. You know, I go out. But it's I know inside of me that there's something missing.
Yep.
Something's missing. And I know I'm never, ever, ever, ever going to get it until we meet again. Because, you know, my belief is afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that until I see her again, I'm not going to be complete. I'm not going to be happy. You know, it's so crazy. I'm even afraid of when I'm actually having a good day and smiling, I'm like, "No, no, no, don't laugh too hard because they're going to know and something bad's going to happen," you know?
Mm-hmm.
I had to go to therapy because it's no, humanly speaking, you cannot handle everything that I live, you know?
Absolutely.
I was the one that had to inform everybody. Everybody that she passed, mm. that he did. Yeah, and seeing, telling my boys,
mm-mm.
telling my mother has been the most horrific thing that I had to do. The most disgusting part, and I think I'm really working in my victim impact statement,
mm-hmm.
is that I want the judge to understand that this scum cannot ever be free. Because he is remorseful throughout the whole trial. He has been emotionless. There's not even one bit of nothing when they were showing my kid's picture, how he left her. Mm. You know, not even one bit. And that's a scary human being to be walking on earth.
Yep.
Scary, you know, because if he did it, obviously he's a coward. He goes against young girls.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he actually never actually told me nothing. He will run away when he see me.
Mm-hmm.
But he picks on young girls. He could manipulate, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess with me, he already did it to me. He already destroyed my family. But, you know, I'm not going to rest until he stays right there. So no one can actually go through what I'm going through. No one, no one. You know, another mother, another girl, another family. No, he affected so many people. So many people with this, even his own family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys are aware that his mom testified against him.
Yes, I did see that detail. Yep, that's so damning.
Yeah, you know, I was very, I hated her the whole time. I hated her, but to be honest, on trial, kind of touched me because that must have been really tough.
Yep.
Testifying against your kid, no matter how bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, he destroyed his own mother too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's just an evil person.
Yep. Can you talk to us about the process? I mean, the reason I found your case in the first place was because, well, a friend sent me the article and the cut, and you know, they got their attention because of the social media and, you know, the fact that the police and the media weren't giving this case the attention it deserved. Do you want to talk about that, how that felt? I got a little bit of information from the articles that I was able to pull together, but I would love to hear if you want to share what that experience was like in the aftermath and trying to work with police and, you know, what were good things and what were frustrating things.
I think the worst thing is that you want a person caught, you know, doesn't matter, catch them. And since obviously a lot of us don't go through any legal stuff, we don't understand the process.
Mm-hmm.
We don't understand they have to get a court order. You know, for us as parents, as a victim's, you know, parent, it's frustrating because you want answers and nobody's telling you nothing. Nothing. They don't tell you nothing. And you're like, well, I want to talk to the media. I want them phone. And they were like, no, wait, you know? Yep. And waiting is torture. It's torture because you think inside your head, this person is enjoying his life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here. My family is destroyed. My mom is destroyed. My kids are destroyed. I'm destroyed. And it's free.
Yeah.
Alive, you know? It was a lot of frustration, a lot, to the point that at the beginning, it's so crazy because at the beginning, I just wanted to hide. I didn't want no one talking to me. I didn't want to talk to no one. I didn't want no one to post my daughter's picture. You know, I just wanted to hide.
Mm-hmm.
Hide myself and cry. But my cousin was very careful to tell me, you know what, Susie? Why don't we do this? Why don't we do the Justice for Daisy's page since the police are saying to wait, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're like, yeah, okay. So we started with the Justice for Daisy's page. But then my cousin talked to Miriam and she said, look, you guys are young. I don't know how to do the TikTok thing, you know? So why don't you guys do something like that? That's what's in right now. That's what's popular with mm-hmm. the kids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you guys do that? And you know what? They didn't talk to me about none of that. They were wonderful. Miriam and my cousin Mimi, they were wonderful. They kept all of that. They carried that for me.
Oh.
And of course, they always went, Susie, we want to do this. Is that okay? Yeah, go ahead. Susie, we want to do this. So I gave them the okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they posted, and you know, until now, I think I was even surprised when I saw the TikTok. I think I was just browsing to Instagram, and one of my friends posted it.
Oh wow!
I saw it. My heart sunk. You know, I'm telling you, I trust these ladies too much that I say, go ahead. I know you guys love my kid. They were in the hearings. They were in everything. So obviously I trusted them blindly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that whatever they were going to do, they were not going to do. So we started doing that. Obviously, you know, that's what got the attention, because people saw his picture. TikTok, they saw him. Someone said he works right here.
Yep.
Someone, you know, it was a tip that said, I know him, he works right here. Mm-hmm. The first person wanted us to give him money, you know, like always people taking advantage.
Oh, wow.
He's actually the one that sent the picture, I mean, the video of him smoking and drinking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was actually a girl that said, you know, he's here, they have him, and she sent us a picture of him. His mugshot over there in Rosarito. So it's incredible, you know. Like I said it and I said it again. Thanks to the people, this bastard got caught. Mm-hmm. Thank everybody. They share, they find someone that talked about it here. I saw this guy. Did you know anybody? I didn't even believe he was in Mexico. I didn't. I thought he was here in local, you know, and It was just wonderful. Honestly, if it wasn't because of the people, of my family, her friends, we would not have been this result.
Right. Yeah. I can't imagine that they would have crossed international borders to make it a priority to track him down. Knowing that he was in Mexico especially, I cannot imagine. You know, we tend to be critical of law enforcement, so I know that that's not always the case, but I can't imagine that they would have sent a team down to find him.
Me neither. I don't believe it, honestly. And I said it, and I have said it before in interviews and everything. You know, the worst fear is that, and I think that's what I was, like, terrified, that my daughter was going to be another statistic.
Yeah.
Another program case. And you see so many cases like that, it's another world. You know, now that I'm living this, it's the first time I actually go, sadly, as horrible as it sounds, it's very common.
Yep.
It's very common. We don't hear about it because we don't live in that world. But when you do, you're not alone. And that's so sad, you know, that's so sad. So many grieving parents.
Yep.
So many women, young women, getting murdered, getting killed by the person they trusted.
Mm-hmm.
A person they loved, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And I do believe the pressure made the police help.
Yes.
Yep, no doubt about it. I'm so glad. I'm so glad they did that. And I'm so glad that it worked.
I'm so sorry that you didn't get that support from them straight away. Daisy deserved that.
Yep. Yeah. So did you.
Yes.
Yep. So I know sentencing has been pushed back a couple of times. Do you want to talk about that? I mean, that was part of the reason we reconnected, because they pushed it back again, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm. I mean, if it would have ended up since the beginning, by June, it would have been done.
Right.
It turns out to be the defense attorney.
Hurt.
Is back, you know. So they say a month. Okay, so she said that was in June. She said maybe by the beginning of August. Okay, August came. They gave me the same answer. And now I was like, again, I say, okay, maybe this time it's actually in it, you know.
Yep.
Nope. Until October, the first week of October. It sucks for us because we keep on getting victimized all over again.
Yep.
You know? This is sentencing. Okay, at least I don't have to go to court. Going to court gives me anxiety, takes work time from me.
Mm-hmm.
It's so draining going over there. physically, emotionally, in every place, you know, because honestly, to be seeing him for so many hours makes my stomach sick.
Yep.
Honestly, like, it's so hard to keep myself calm when he's so close to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so hard. And it's like, you can't even scream, nothing. You have to be composed when you're in court, you know?
Yep.
They asked me before if I wanted to say something to him. I'm like, no, I have nothing to say to him, because I feel like that's like wasting my words, wasting my time. I do want the judge to understand that this is a person that should never be free. Mm-hmm. Never. That's the only reason I want to speak.
Mm-hmm.
That too, I don't give him any importance, you know? He's nobody. So he don't even deserve my words or even like to condemn me, you know? Mm-hmm. I do believe that we have judgment here and we have judgment in the other life. And, you know, there's nothing I could do anymore to get my daughter back. Nothing. So I just want this, you could say close, because not really closing. I just want to grieve my daughter, you know? Mm-hmm. I haven't even had a chance to do that. I haven't even chance to actually cry my heart out, like, for a whole week, you know, not care about court or nothing, you know, or just be angry if I want to be angry, you know. I always have to tell myself, no, you have to, you're better than that, Susie, you know, but sometimes I'm human and can't stand it.
Yep. Yeah, nobody should ever have to be that strong. Nobody should ever have to rise above that. That's not an experience a human being should have to have.
No.
We should all be allowed to just scream and rage and, you know, get messy and crazy in the face of something like that, because it's just an unfathomable pain. I can't begin to imagine holding that inside of my body. So yeah, good for you for the doing it, but I feel like you should be allowed to just lose your mind, you know?
Yes.
You should be allowed.
That's what my best friend told me, because last time I told her, I'm so angry, and fuck this, and fuck him, and fuck this. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. And she's like, it's okay, let it out.
Yes.
I was like, I still, and that day I told her, why didn't I hear her? Why didn't she scream? Why didn't I hear? I was there, you know? I was there. That like, that makes me so angry at me. I'm like, and she's like, Susie, you're not a bad mom. I feel like a bad mom because I didn't hear my kid scream, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This bastard, the way he left her, you know, what he did to her, makes me, you know, I don't even know how. I keep on thinking, how am I going to live all these years, you know?
Yep.
There's not even a word to describe my anger that I have towards him.
Yep.
There's not even, no, there's no, doesn't exist, you know, for what he did to her. He cut her future short, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And him being a parasite doesn't work, didn't go to school. My kid had all of that. My kid had dreams, and he stole all of that from us. You know, I see her friends. Miriam just turned 21. Daisy would have been 21 on August 29th.
Mm-hmm.
She would have been 21.
Mm.
And every time I see her friends grow, it reminds me that she didn't.
Right.
She got stuck there, you know? And, you know, I hope he does get life in prison, because just like he condemned me of a life without her, you know?
Yeah.
that my family, my daughter's friends to a life without her.
Right.
And that's a life punishment, you know?
Yep. What would you, if you, I don't know, in the process, this has happened to you, like you can't take it back, like you said, and everything that's happened since, what, would you change? What would you want for other families, for other people in your position? What, if anything, if there's anything, what would it be that would make this a little better, any easier,
I think one of the things that I noticed is that people don't really, I mean, law enforcement laws, I don't think is strong enough against domestic violence. My daughter was underage. My daughter was underage when he started hitting her. I saw bite marks, scratches the day he hit the incident with the skateboard, I tried to file a police report. And they told me, no, you can't do it because she's not here to put the police report. I'm like, so
Forgot about that.
if that in school they would have seen that, who do you think they're gonna go against? Me.
Right.
Because I'm the parent. So why do they make a big deal about that? That obviously is important, but they don't make a big deal about domestic violence. And I heard so many cases of women that they got threatened with a gun and the police came, and since nothing happened to them, guess what? They can't file a restraining order against this animal. And so I believe and I wish that's something I could change. So there could be more strict laws against domestic violence. Because I believe that the police, the people that make the laws, they don't do nothing until the person's dead already.
Over and over again, over and over again.
It's so common. So common that happens. And I believe there should be a stop to this. This is where we have so many femicide, so many women, young women, dead in the hands of people they loved, they trusted, and they knew.
It's time that it's taken seriously. It's time that we're, it's time that boys are taught whatever it is they need to be able to control their emotions or express their emotions so that they're not taking it out on people who are weaker, quote unquote, weaker than them. But it's also time that those crimes are taken much, much more seriously because it is preventable, if it was taken seriously, if there were consequences of some kind earlier or intervention of some kind earlier, it could be prevented.
Exactly. I believe it too. I always was very realistic what happened to me since the beginning, because I believe if I didn't, I was gonna go nuts. I was gonna lose my mind. I remember me asking God, Lord, all I ask you is for me not to lose my mind. I could handle the rest, work, my chores, everything else, I could handle it. Just let me keep my mind because I really, really felt I was going to lose my mind. I mean, to get home and to see yellow tape, crime scene, no, you don't forget that. You don't forget that. You don't forget that. That was like one of those crime shows that I used to see so much. I was living something like that and I could not believe it. I could not believe it. I was like, no, this is not real. I'm dreaming. This is a nightmare. And I do believe also mental health, something that I learned, mental health is very important, but it's not an excuse to do evil. Because you could, they took my kid and the way they took her, I mean, it's to go crazy. But I took the step of getting help. I started getting therapy. I got therapy for a long, long time. And I think it's one of the things that helped me. You know, a lot of parents, especially when you're going through something like this, you don't believe in therapy. Yes, it helps. Therapy helps, you know, and not to go to the dark side, not to go and pay evil with evil, you know, because at the end, you cannot get nothing back of what you lost, no matter if you're actually killing the person that killed your kid, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you don't get, you know, nothing out of it. So mental health, I believe, is one of the most important things that I learned in all this mess.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not been until very recently, especially in this country, that people have started expressing the need for help and expressing just how hard it is to be a human being, you know, and that most people need some sort of mental health and health help. And I think most people need a lot of help. I think most people are suffering greatly. And then in a case like Victor, you know, he clearly needed help of multiple varieties and had, you know, police taken you seriously when you tried to put a case against him in the first place, then maybe he could have gotten some of that help. Maybe he could have expressed whatever that was, that burning anger inside of him that he took out on your daughter, you know, just such a senseless, needless act. And he could have put that someplace else, you know, but he wasn't given that opportunity.
Exactly. I do believe in that too. And I do also would like to tell the grieving parents that especially the ones where we still have other kids. I think sometimes they forget our kids, you know. Mom, how are you? Mom, how are you? They're suffering too. They lost some, their whole life changed, you know, and I believe sometimes they're the forgotten victims of this, you know, the siblings, their sisters or brothers, you know. I do believe it's, you have to bite your heart sometimes as a mom and say, you know what, yes, I can let myself go, but I still have a living child, you know, I still have two living kids, I still have my granddaughter. Life was horrible what happened. They see what happened to Daisy. But I still see a light in all this darkness, you know, which is my kids. I have wonderful friends. Honestly, without them, I wouldn't be here. I have a wonderful family. My brothers, you know, my cousins. People literally got me up from the floor when I would cry and go crazy. They would get down with me, cry with me. Come on, let's go eat. No, I don't want to eat. No, I brought you soup. You know, it's without my support system, I would not be here, honestly. Without them, without each one of the kind words I received, even though I didn't answer, I saw everything. And, you know, when I read what you guys wrote about my kid, you know, I'm grateful, so grateful, because like I said, a lot of parents don't have the person that killed their kid. A lot of parents don't got not even a trial, nothing, you know? And my kid was hurt from the other side. Her voice was heard, her light was shining, and you know, you love my kid, you love me. And you know, I'm so grateful for what you guys, you know, how you guys talked about Daisy and how you guys worded so beautifully. I you know, to all the people that have donated to the GoFund, I want to thank them, because I know a lot of them are your listeners. I'm extremely grateful, because shopping, cooking, driving, going to the laundry, it becomes a huge thing for us once they're going through something like that. Nothing is important anymore. So you pretty much have to force yourself to go to work, force yourself to get dressed, force yourself to brush your teeth. You know, it becomes something like such a hard work. But thanks to wonderful people like you guys, you feel heard. You feel that other people feel your pain, even though they don't even know you. So, you know, that's something I wanted to tell you guys. Thank you so much to both of you, for all your listeners. I do, from the bottom of my heart, my family, my daughter's friends, thank you guys.
Yeah, we wish we could do more.
Absolutely. Yep. And the GoFundMe is still live and it is still on our Instagram. And we have a lot more listeners than we did even when we originally spoke about Daisy. So people, please go continue to donate. You know, you should still continue to get the support that you need while you're going through this. I mean, it's just endless. Take a vacation, for crying out loud, you know, continue to get therapy, whatever that looks like. Sadie and I say this a lot, the unexpected, the reason we continue to do this, hands down, no question, is because of the community of people that it has brought into our lives. And it's such a weird thing to, you know, talk about what we're talking about and then have this beautiful community of people, you know, surrounding us. And that's such a tremendous gift, and to be able to share them, you know, with other people and with each other. And, you know, obviously seeing how much they fell in love with Daisy. I mean, they just absolutely, we've done 150 cases for main feed and never gotten a reaction like we did when we talked about Daisy. And yeah, the messages, I mean, it's on TikTok too. I don't know if you saw the TikTok that we posted of her and people there commenting, you know, there's just this tremendous outpouring. I think it's, you know, they see Daisy and you see a video of her or even just a still photo of her and you just get her immediately, you know, her beauty and her spirit like radiates through. And, you know, it's hard when you're covering a case. And I'm like, I would be friends with this girl. You know, if I was a 17-year-old girl, she and I would be best friends.
People have told me that, a lot of people. I do believe Daisy was an old soul. You know, now that I look at her pictures, I'm like, this girl looks different in all the pictures.
Oh,
different. Like, I feel like I look the same in all of them. I see her different hairstyle, different clothes. I mean, she was so unapologetic about who she was.
Yep.
And I love, you know, I love my kid. And I will sometimes be in the store and I will see ladies looking at her bad. Like, and I will even hug her more and kiss her more because I taught my daughter to be free. Be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I always taught her how to be free. Be who you are, not who people want you to be, you know?
Yeah.
And we're completely different, me and her. Completely different, you know, but you know, her fears, I believe now, after I mean going through trial and everything, I believe that her spirit was with me, because I felt that I'm like, Daisy would have done this, you know. Daisy would have acted like this. Daisy would have done this. And you know, it was her with me throughout the whole time.
No doubt. Yep. Yeah. You can't put a light that bright on this planet and then extinguish it and have it go away. You know, like, she didn't go away. He took a part of her, but he didn't take all of her, because she's just far too bright and brilliant to disappear. So nice try, Victor. But
yeah, but no. Nope. Exactly.
Yeah, I see that light inside of you too, your Absolutely. Strength and courage. And, you know, Courtney and I say it all the time that we would, going through what you have gone through, we would just sort of like lay down and be like, okay, we're done with that. And to see you, you know, standing up and continuing on is an inspiration. It's also heartbreaking. And I'm sorry that the police failed you and you did not fail your daughter. I know it feels like that, but you did not fail her. You worked so hard for her. I'm going to cry about it, but you're a good mom.
Yep.
You know, you really, really, I mean, you love your kid, you raise them, you you know, you're with them and everything. But man, to fight for them when you're broken yourself. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's like, I love my kid. I will love her to the end of time. I said it forever and ever. And it's like, I understand what love is. No matter how many years, no matter if your kid is 70, you're going to love him forever. And now even beyond dead, you know, I cry for her. Never. I don't think there's one day that I don't cry for her, that I don't miss her, that I know, that I don't go, Mamachita, you know, I miss you. Like, you know, like sometimes I feel like she's gone with her friends, you know. The human mind doesn't really grasp
right. What
it is to miss one kid.
Yes.
Even though I saw everything, even though I saw it was her, even though all of that, it's something that you don't understand. You don't get it. Your mind doesn't get it. It's humanly impossible to get it. It's humanly impossible. Little by little, with time, I'm learning to live with the pain mm-hmm. of her gone. But it's always there. It's like my partner, you know, there, always gonna be there with me.
Yep.
In the beginning, I hated it. I'd be like, get out of here, dog, leave me alone. I just wanna, you know, I want this gone. But, you know, little by little, I've been getting that it's never gonna be gone. That pain is never gonna be gone. You learn to live with it. And it sounds so cliche, everybody tells me that. A lot of grieving parents, you know, I joined like a couple support groups of grieving parents. Mm-hmm. But I think the one that I really identify with is obviously parents that lost their children through homicide. Because I do believe that we do understand other people lost their kids. Of course, it's the same pain, but they lost their kids to natural causes. Mm-hmm. But when somebody steals your kid, it does something to you. Does something to you. And I think I said it in my daughter's service. I told everybody, hug your kids. Hug them. Accept them. Even if you don't like it, even if you don't like their lifestyle, hug them. I wish I could hug mine.
Yep.
Again. I wish I could hug mine again. But yeah.
Yeah. So besides the GoFundMe, are there any other ways that we could support? You know, is there anything that we or our listeners could do for you?
Well, for now, it's, I guess, share my daughter's case, share how important it is domestic violence, to go against domestic violence, share how important it is for parents to have a relationship with their kids, you know, all of that, you know, I just in general, you know, hopefully we can make a law. Mm-hmm. Hopefully this will be a lesson and, you know, make it happen in the future. Mm-hmm. Obviously one step at a time, you know, mm-hmm. I learned that now. Before I used to want to jump, I already wanted this is no. Now I learned to be patient. I learned that this is something that I have to walk very, very slow. But I do believe that I would like to fight to get a law passed too. They could be more strict, at least focused on the underage girls.
Yep.
And how important it is that you as a parent can make a police report when you suspect her partner, whether it be a boy or girl, mm-hmm. is abusing your kid. Mm-hmm. You know, because it doesn't really go to only females. Boys sometimes go through that.
Yeah.
And there's nothing shameful about that.
No.
You know, violence is violence no matter what.
Yep.
And I do believe that that's one of the things that it really bugged me, because I said, if they would have think it's me, I would even be jailed. But this person didn't got nothing because she wouldn't accuse them. So, you know, I believe there has to be something done about that.
Yep. Yes.
Especially when they're underage.
I couldn't believe that. I still can't believe that that's not the case. That's so strange to me. They're a child. Yeah. You're their guardian, their parent. It is so strange. It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. I went to two police stations. And then since none of them went to help me, then I had to go to the school board. I had to go to the school board and be like, this is what's happening. My daughter doesn't want to talk about it. And obviously she's going to deny it, but it's happening. And no, you know, I believe there has to be something done against this kind of things, you know? Mm-hmm. She was an underage girl, mm-hmm. underage, high school, not even graduated yet.
Yep.
So, no, I believe that's something so horrible.
Yep.
As a parent, you feel helpless.
Yeah.
Don't you see my kid when I don't even hit her? And this person was already a grown up. He was past 20.
Yep.
So, no, I believe there has to be something done about that.
Yeah, yes. Especially in that case. If he had been another teenager, that would make a little bit more sense, but he was an yeah. adult.
Yes.
They couldn't exactly. protect a child from an adult. Yes. There's once so you're. Many
that you could have done, but I guess everybody was like, oh no, she wants to be there. They don't really understand how psychology of a person that's being abused works.
Well, and a teen. She was a teen. Yes, her brain is not fully formed yet.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Even adult women in domestic violence situations do the same thing. They make the wrong decision, you know, because they're scared. They're stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When they're manipulated.
And exactly. They're manipulated. These people are manipulated. They either feel sorry for me or they actually use violence, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like they work different. You know, all these narcissists work different.
Yep.
And like I said, I don't want to go only specially say that men are the ones that do that, because some women, some girls do it too, mm-hmm. you know, but in this case, well, I'm kind of speaking for my daughter, you know,
mm-hmm. of course.
And I do believe that Daisy was ashamed that she was getting hit by him, bitten, scratched, manipulated, you know, because she never saw it from me. From her dad or nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously she was a tough girl, you know. So how a tough girl is getting abused by someone. But it happens.
Absolutely.
It happens a lot. It happens a lot. And I think since all this happened, that's been in my mind. In my mind is like, but like I tell everybody, first, I want to get sentencing out. Mm-hmm. Then I could focus on what am I going to do to make this happen?
Yep.
You know, and I believe if enough people follow my daughter's story, enough women, guys, whoever's against domestic violence, we could get enough signature, or we could try to find, I don't know how that works,
mm-hmm.
but we could find a way to make it a law.
Yep.
To make it a law. About strict laws about, you know, especially, like I said, especially girls that are underage.
Yes.
I think everybody's anger is about that. Obviously, we get angry even when they're adults, but
yeah,
it's more important because they're so young. Yep. They're so young.
Yep. They need to be protected.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We'd be honored to, you know, help any way we can.
Yeah.
If, you know, when you get to that place, anything we can do.
Thank you.
Yeah. Look into how to change the laws and, you know, whatever. Yeah. Of course, tell our listeners about it too. But it sounds like it would be fulfilling in a lot of ways when you're ready. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, as far as sentencing, I will let you guys know the exact day once I get an answer from the DA. And, you know, I believe there's going to be cameras in court that day. ABC7 has been with us throughout the beginning, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so most likely there's going to be cameras for the sentencing. So I will let you guys know as soon as I find out the day.
Great. Please do.
I will keep you guys updated on anything that's happening. And hopefully, you know, with that, We could end, you know, not end, but at least we could have a long break from court and all of this.
Close this chapter. Yep.
Anything else you want to say to our listeners?
I just, you know, I think I could never thank you, all of you guys, enough, because I know some of them are even like, they heard the story since the beginning, since they were looking at for him, you know, since they were hunting, you know, I sharing a picture of someone that they're looking, sharing a picture for a girl that's missing. People think they don't make a difference. It makes a difference. It made a difference in my daughter's case. It made a difference in my daughter's case outcome of everything, you know? So if you guys see a picture of someone that's missing, if you see a picture of someone that's wanted, share, please. You know, I say as a parent, I say as a someone that someone's decision to share change everything.
Great so advice.
That's one of the, whenever they see something that's for share, that they're looking for a girl, they're looking for a guy, whatever, share makes great. A difference. Social media became a great thing in my daughter's case. A great thing. Obviously, we have people that are dumb. They say stupid comments, but you know, I think you guys get those too. But you know, my cousin Miriam, they saved me from seeing, hearing all of that. You know, my angels, those are my angels, and all my daughter's friends. You know, to have 19 years old, 20 years old, going with me to legal stuff. A lot of the times it was just them and me. Wow. When they could just be doing their own life, you know. They didn't. They stopped their life and they fought for their friend.
Good for them.
Asked for better things than that.
Good for them. I'm so glad you have that support and that love around you. I mean, that's just crucial.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I'm very great. I'm very, very blessed.
Good.
I have wonderful people surrounding me.
Good. Good. Well, I'm going to be in LA in September for work. Maybe we should grab a bite. Meet in person if you want to.
Sure. Just let me know. And then, you know, my boss is pretty flexible. Like, you know, that's another thing I want to mention. My bosses, there's the people that I work with, it's a family owned business. Wow.
Good. Wow.
Wonderful people, you know, go. They didn't ask me what happened. You know, like I said, it's a whole community that work together to find this person with him. It's a whole community that I couldn't ask for more.
Good.
The whole community that supported me in the healing. They keep supporting me in the healing and in the aftermath, because sometimes, you know, people go back to their lives after the funeral, after the service. And no, people have always here, there, everywhere, you know, they keep an eye on me. So I'm extremely grateful.
Good. Well, we're sending you endless love always.
Thank you so much, both of you guys.
I said before, even if you want to just reach out and send a text or a message on Instagram when you just need a voice, just need somebody on the other end, you're always welcome.
Yep. We're happy.
And thank you, because I know when I send it last time, it was a very dark week and you guys answer, and that made a lot. It meant a lot to me.
Yeah. It means a lot to us too, honestly. You trust us with your heart, and as human beings, there's really nothing more important than those connections that we make with each other, even under, you know, these horrible circumstances. I wish this was how we met each other, but to have somebody trust you enough to reach out is a tremendous honor. So thank you for giving us that gift, and thank you for giving this to our listeners. I know
they
really appreciate it.
I really appreciate all of you guys. And yeah, let me know when you're in town and then
just go
to drink.
Great.
Sorry, wishful thinking.
No, trust me. Twist my arm, Susie. Twist my arm. It's not hard.
Brittany loves a margarita.
Thank you so much.
It means so much that you took the time to do this with us. It's really an honor, and we'll hold you in our hearts.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Me too.
I'm journalist Carolyn Osorio, and I invite you to join me and my co-host, Brandon Morgan, on our podcast, Criminal Mischief. From law enforcement officers seeking justice to victims' families seeking answers, every week there's a new case and a new victim whose story deserves to be told. New episodes of Criminal Mischief drop every Tuesday.